So I wanted to read a little quote by Thich Nhat Hanh. We have to learn the art of stopping our thinking, our habit energies, our forgetfulness, and the strong emotions that rule us. Stopping our thinking. So I want to talk about stopping our thinking. In the Anapanasati Sutra, which is the sutra on the mindfulness of breathing, it's one of the early teachings of the Buddha, and the first part of the first turning of the wheel of the Dharma. The Buddha lays out the importance of the practice of mindful breathing. It's foundational. And it's practical because we always have our breath. So being able to be mindful of our breath, first of all, enables us to develop a certain general concentration that we might not initially have when we begin to meditate. And when we begin to be able to concentrate the mind, we begin to lay the foundation for all of the liberations that flow from a concentrated mind. The liberations of ongoing mindfulness, which is just being present in our life, being able to investigate states, being aware of our state, and being able to look more thoroughly and more deeply into them. We develop persistence in applying ourselves within our own life and being undistracted. We develop a rapture not dependent on body. So some of you may have already tasted some of that. And certainly concentration, which continues to deepen, and an equanimity develops. Because when we are evenly applying our attention, we learn how to apply it no matter what the object of attention is. Whether it's something we like or we don't like, we can allow it in. We learn how to tolerate it. Because what we're doing is investigating it. So that necessarily yields a certain detachment from our experience, which can lead, one of the traps is it can lead to spiritual bypass, to kind of transcending ourselves out of our human experience. But the intention, rather, is to deepen our presence in all that makes up our life. So mindfulness is attending to whatever arises in the present moment. And attention, mindfulness, it's an act of will. So the will is involved. Desire is involved. Self-control and drive. All of these very conditioned states, we turn them to wholesome purpose. So, attention. But awareness, on the other hand, does not need anything. Awareness is our nature. Awareness is the nature. It comes before even attention. We are always aware whether we realize it or not. Right now we're fully aware, but we may not. We may realize it only in a very narrow way. It's our natural mind. Awareness is potentially limitless, all-inclusive, and really importantly, undivided. Undivided. So what we're doing when we begin this practice of mindfulness of the out-breath and the in-breath is whether we realize it or not at the moment, this is an undivided activity. We call it in, we call it out. In has certain characteristics, out has certain characteristics. But the activity is undivided and flows without an act of will. so it flows rather similarly to awareness. Whether we're aware of our breathing or not, we breathe. Sometimes we hold our breath, but eventually we get aware that we're holding our breath. So our ordinary minds, you know, we're breathing all the time, but we're not aware of it much of the time. Because our attention is pointed somewhere else. Our will is involved in something else. So there's all of this division that happens. And sometimes, or often, we're really clouded. Our mind is very clouded by opinion, by emotion, by sense impressions. We become absorbed in them. And it is a narrowing of awareness. Now, the spirit in which this is being said is not to say there's anything wrong with any of that. I say that every time, but it's so important to recognize. It's not that we're striving to make ourselves not be involved in whatever's going on, but to hone our ability to see more deeply into any slice that we choose to look into more deeply. So in Zazen, we really, it's a little slice that's all about being undistracted in just this very natural flow of breath, and undistracted from, unabsorbed in anything but kind of a steadfast presence. So we bring this onto the cushion. This intention, Zazen, initially is an intention. As soon as we sit on the cushion, we let go of intention. But we find that ideas bubble up, thoughts, fantasies, plans, all of our usual mind matters are ready to present themselves. And so there's a certain kind of, initially especially, until we cultivate what we call juriki, which is energy in the hara, right? The breath, when we fully surrender to just breathing, then all of these thoughts that bubble up have much less energy, because in a certain way, we could look at it energetically, we're dropping energy from just to, it's all dropping down. We're dropping chi. There's a certain way of breathing in Zazen that you don't have to summon. It happens as soon as you release yourself from interest in all the roof brain chatter. So our breath is the first action that heralds our life in this body. It's the very first action we take, is that in-breath. And maybe the outcry. The first outcry. We don't have to think about our breath if we're lucky. We don't have to think about our breath. Because it is our animating activity. It's our nature as alive embodied beings to breathe. It is our nature as alive embodied beings to be aware. We have, as soon as we have a body, we have consciousness. So we breathe in. And we're taking in everything. Breathing in is the same as, I mean, it's that mode of receptivity, absorbing in, receiving, expanding, perceiving, and then when we breathe in, we know we are breathing in. So this is what the Buddha said: when I breathe in, I know that I am breathing in. And then breathing out. I know that I am breathing out. Emptying, letting go, releasing. And at the very end of the exhale, what unfolds as the exhale then is suddenly an inhale. So that's one reason why we can use this so fruitfully as an object of awareness, of meditation, is because there is so much to be looked at, to be aware of in the breath. Breathing out, I know that I am breathing out. Emptying, letting go. Releasing. So the Zen question is, how do I leap free from in and out? How do I leap free from opposites? Breathing in, breathing out, being, not being, living, dying. How do I leap free from these opposites, these divisions that seem so real, to directly gain the wholeness of life? And for millennia, wise, enlightened beings have told us, follow the breath in order to leap free. So we don't say there's no in-breath and no out-breath, but in a sense there is leaping free of in and out. Just as the breath continues to flow whether we're aware of it or not, our life continues to function. Awareness continues to function whether we're aware of it or not. So I want to read a koan, a public case, which is an account of an exchange between a master and a student. It's Yaoshan's non-thinking. This is a real trap, non-thinking. What do I do when I sit on the cushion? Stop your thoughts. It's like saying, don't think of an elephant. It's the same kind of trap, and we all, it's the beginning. It's the beginning trap that kind of helps us see how caught we are in our conceptual experience, how limited, how narrowed. So the main case, it's divided into three parts, the main case, the commentary, and the capping verse. The main case is, when priest Yaoshan was sitting in meditation, a monk asked, what do you think about sitting in steadfast composure? That's really great. Steadfast composure, that's really zazen. Yaoshan said, I think not thinking. The monk said, how do you think not thinking? Yaoshan said, non-thinking. Is that helpful?
No.
Then the commentary. Abide in neither thinking nor not thinking. So thinking, not thinking are two opposites. Thinking is linear and sequential, a separation from the reality that is the subject of thought, and thus is an abstraction rather than the reality itself. Not thinking is suppressive. It cuts away thoughts the moment they arise, making the mind into a great impenetrable mountain, dead and unresponsive. Non-thinking has no such edges. It is the boundless mind of samadhi that neither holds on to nor lets go of thoughts. It is the manifestation of the Buddha mind in which the dualism of self and other, thinking and not thinking, dissolve. This is the Dharma of thusness. That is the right thought of all the Buddhas in the 10 directions. Thusness. So really, thinking, the resolution of thinking or not thinking is simply thusness. The capping verse. When the Dharma wheel turns, it always goes in both directions. Breathing in, breathing out. The still point is its hub. And from here, all of our myriad activities emerge. Rather than give solace to the body, give solace to the mind. When both body and mind are at peace, all things appear as they are, perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So his final suggestion is just to shut up and sit, which is always a good policy. So thusness. So what is thusness in breathing out and breathing in? What is the direct experience without getting caught up in and out? And the only way that we gain that is in, breathing in, and breathing out. The Dharma of thusness. Neither thinking, which is linear, sequential, and dependent on forms, nor non-thinking, which is blank consciousness, tense and defended mind, no entry. So how do we keep clear of the two extremes? When we first start to sit, we think we have a problem. Not only initially when we begin a practice at the very beginning of our practice, but each time we sit down, we have a problem because we've been absorbed in activity through the senses, through intention, through thought. And we want to aim toward pure awareness, without effort of will and without grasping. It's really like any moment of transition, where you go from, like yesterday, and after this, we're going to share a musical number with you. It's like, you know, going from this mode to a very different mode. There's that moment of leap into action, where thought is irrelevant. It's not about thought. And so when we sit on the cushion again, thought is irrelevant. Thought bubbles up unbidden. In a way, we can't bid our thoughts. We can reinforce thinking. We can reinforce non-thinking. we can do whatever we want with any form in our life and in our mentation, right? But leaping beyond this and that, so that we don't divide our life into categories and limit ourselves according to them. All this fabrication that we do, there is freedom from it. In the samadhi of ease and joy, the samadhi that leaps beyond, breathing out, breathing in, the concepts of breathing out, breathing in. There are no actual divisions in our experience. So, practicing with that whole wonderment around the Dharma of thusness. Thusness, which naturally presents itself. It's like the moment you look up and there's a rainbow. Nothing is necessary, nothing is missing. It's complete. When you step into a pool of cool water on a hot day, it's complete. And self-revealing, that's another characteristic, self-revealing. Thusness is self-revealing. Nothing needs to be thought in order for it to have steadfast presence. Our life is self-revealing. So these are concepts that shed light on non-conceptual life. Thusness. Self-revealing, leaping beyond opposites. So we're leaping beyond this and that. We're leaping beyond duality. We're also leaping beyond oneness. Irrelevant. All of this is intimately transmitted in our zazen, in our life. And it's always self-revealing. And what we cultivate is our steadfast presence so that we can realize it for ourselves. And this goes way beyond words. What you've heard in the teachings, when you realize them, you know, it's like any realization, you go, oh, it's not a thought anymore, it's real. Realization, it becomes thoroughly real. Like the Velveteen Rabbit. So, please allow yourself, and may we all do this when sitting in zazen, not to waste that time, but to really allow ourselves to put aside our involvement with our thoughts and be very simple in the practice of breathing out and breathing in. But it's not something we're doing. We are steadfastly present in the breath, in its entirety. And may we all realize our whole and complete life, every moment, nothing missing. Thank you.
The four great Bodhisattva vows can be found on page 5 of your chant book.